what are the secrets to living a long life? Did you know by the year 2050, there will be approximately 800,000 centenarians living in the United States? Today, we're talking with Dr. C.N. Waite, Associate Professor of Foods and Nutrition at the University of Idaho. Dr. Waite researched and visited 20 living centenarians to better understand their lifestyle, how they live, and what they eat. I want to welcome you to the program, Dr. Waite.
Thank you.
So tell me about first centenarians. We are talking about people who are at least 100 years old.
Right. And there's going to be a lot more of them, you know. And so we need to figure out how to get there in a healthy way so we're not all living. We have these, you know, 100-year-olds in institutions. We need to be out there living and living in a healthy way.
Tell me how you started to research this. Was it just something that, you know, you were interested in, or you just saw more centenarians? What was it that made you decide to look into this?
I think one of the things that, I mean, there's so many reasons to look into this. First of all, our escalating healthcare costs. I've always been very interested in preventative medicine and how we can, what we can do to reduce the costs of care as we age. Secondly, I had the opportunity to travel around, and it wasn't just in the United States, it was kind of all over, and visit some of these people and really learn what they do and what they do well and how they eat. Most importantly, there's not a lot of research on what they eat.
And there are pockets, correct, of,
right.
of like where you have, you see more centenarians.
Right. And, you know, Dan Buettner did the initial research with the Blue Zones.
Mm-hmm.
And you see pockets of them, especially over in Japan and Italy, which we went to. I went to Hiroshima, not Okinawa. And also Sardinia, Italy. We've gone to Cuba. We've gone to I've gone to Taiwan, and then to Singapore as well.
And what did you find? Are there similarities in these populations?
Mm-hmm. I did. There, it's fascinating that even the diets are so different. The Italian diet
right.
and the Asian diet, they're totally different, except they're not. They have commonalities. And some of the common things that we saw was vegetables. Their diet is based on vegetables. They have protein in the morning for breakfast, which we don't do a very good job of in the U.S. So they would have beans in Sardinia. They would have fish in Asia, which is really important for preventing sarcopenia.
And what's sarcopenia?
It's something that you see, you hear about the woman who falls in the kitchen and breaks her hip,
mm-hmm.
Which she really might have fallen, you know, she didn't have the muscle strength. And as we age, we lose muscle mass, and that's called sarcopenia. And our bodies are not as able to repair muscle and build muscle as we age, so we have sarcopenia. But if you spread your protein out through the breakfast, lunch, and dinner, like 20 grams, 20 grams, 20 grams,
mm-hmm.
there's a ton of research out talking about how this prevents sarcopenia, which I think is a key finding.
That's fascinating because someone like myself, I eat protein in the morning mm-hmm. because what I find is you're not as hungry.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is kind of reversing that because we tend to eat more sweet things in the morning in the United States.
We eat milk and cereal.
Right.
And there's,
right.
you know, like 3 grams of protein in that meal compared to 20 of what we need.
Yeah. So is it so in the United States, there are still pockets in the United States, correct? Isn't there one in California? A blue
yes.
zone in California.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
Loma Linda.
Yeah. So in Loma Linda.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that in the United States, but do we need to do better at how we eat?
We do. We need to focus our plate. Our plate should really be a big heaping pile of vegetables with a little bit of protein and maybe a little bit of carbs. But that's really what it should look like. And we need to spread that protein out breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I'm speaking with Dr. C.N. Waite, who will be presenting What to Eat and Drink to Live to be 100. That will be this Thursday at 6 p.m. at Boise Brewing off of Broad Street in Boise. So see, have a beer and she'll tell you how to eat well. I want to talk a little bit more, though, about this idea of the commonalities in the diet that
okay.
you found around the world. Because when we think of Italy, I think of pasta and bread and all mm-hmm. of, you know, all that stuff that is good.
Mm-hmm.
They eat it there.
They do.
But does it go back to everything in moderation.
Everything is in moderation. And the other thing that they consume is a ton of olive oil. So it's very much the Mediterranean diet. My partner Sue and I call it the Med-Asian diet, which is really what we should be eating because it's the same. Asian diets and the Mediterranean diet are really the same. They're vegetable-based. And even though we have a lot of pasta in the Mediterranean diet, it's a lot of olive oil and a lot of fish. And another common thing we found out was fermented foods.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they eat daily. A lot of that daily.
Daily. Mm-hmm.
So when we talk of fermented foods, I've heard of things like, you know, kimchi.
Right.
What else would you put in that definition?
Kimchi is not one that comes to the top of my mind because I don't like the way it tastes, but it definitely is an acquired taste. But things like yogurt, you know, with probiotics, that's a fermented food. Beer, which is why we're going to be at the brewery. Wine.
You know more people are going to be drinking beer and wine now that you said this.
But what about kombucha? Which is such a trendy drink right now that you see on the end caps mm-hmm. of every grocery store. That is another form of fermented food. Sauerkraut, homemade or refrigerated. Keep in mind, most probiotics, they need to be refrigerated because they're alive.
Right.
And that's what we want to be consuming, and that's what they eat.
So putting that into our diet. And
yeah.
And that's interesting because when I think of fermented, I do. I think kimchi, I think sauerkraut. But mm-hmm. things like yogurt,
right.
that's something that many of us have in our daily diet,
right.
but I wouldn't ever think of it in the same category.
But you have to be careful what kind, because
okay.
it has to have the live probiotics in it, and not every yogurt does. So you need to read on the label that it has live cultures in it. Kefir is another drink that's made. It's a yogurt-based milk drink. So, you know, they're out there. You just have to look for them and then include them in your daily diet.
Now, how about exercise, other things? I mean, more is it really with the centenarians that you found who are living healthy lifestyles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the centenarians we interview, that's, again, another commonality. They exercised every single day, and it looked different for every person. I interviewed one marathon runner who quit running at 75, and he would walk 1 mile up to his wife's grave every day so he could talk to her, and then 1 mile back. So he continued that activity. Another one would walk around his rice farm. And then we had shepherds who were out with their sheep or goats every day walking around.
So it's not necessarily something, you know, that we would consider rigorous, but it's that walking. It's that being active.
But if you are like you and I who like to go to exercise classes and we want to continue to do these things and continue to age, mm-hmm. one of the recommendations in new emerging research out is about HIIT, high intensity type training exercises, where it's kind of interval training.
Right.
You do something real high and then you take like a 30-second rest.
And then you do it again.
Yeah, like Tabata. Mm-hmm. Things like that, because our mitochondria, which is that cell powerhouse, which, you know, feeds ATP and gets energy to our cells, that when it ages, slows down. So to
that's
give it
like
a rest.
That's muscle reaction,
it
right?
Exactly.
That's what that is when you talk about
exactly.
that. And as we age, that it doesn't
pop out right.
as much.
Right.
So
it needs
that.
A rest period in between. So HIIT, there's quite a bit of research out about the importance of HIIT exercises for people who are maybe in their 50s and 60s and maybe 70s. Because it helps maintain that muscle mass and keep that muscle, you know, growing and keeping it from degeneration.
And through all of this research, you actually also got approached about a link with Alzheimer's.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
So talk to me about this, because you put a book together.
Right. So Alzheimer's disease, we noticed that the people we interviewed did not have a lot of dementia. They were sharp as a tack. And so we started doing some research on Alzheimer's disease, and we actually put together the Alzheimer's Prevention Food Guide, which really looks at some of the foods that are linked to brain health. And we know that for brain health, we know the worst thing for brain health is inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we looked at the emerging research, and we put together, sort of did a meta-analysis of nutrients and foods that are helpful for the brain.
So we've always known salmon, omega-3s,
right.
good
omega-3s,
for the brain.
Omega-3s, oh, yeah.
What other things? Because not everybody likes salmon.
Mm-hmm. Anything that helps with inflammation. So fruits and vegetables in particular, have many, many chemicals in them that are anti-inflammatory. So, of course, vegetables, but also things like choline in eggs.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Spices, turmeric, which, turmeric that you put in foods, and you can buy it fresh in the produce section. Add that to things because it's been an ancient spice in India for years and years, and it's been used as an anti-inflammatory.
And you can just put that in a food, correct,
mm-hmm.
with turmeric?
You can
go to the store,
smoothies,
get it,
yeah.
just dump it in there and put it in something.
Yeah. Yep.
And with getting back to the research about finding that a lot of these centenarians did not have a lot of brain degeneration.
Mm-hmm.
Was that surprising? Because I think that's
yes.
a fear for so many people as they age.
It is. It was surprising to me. They're not as quick, obviously, as they were when they were 50, but they're there and they're as sharp. And so one of the centenarians, his name was... I'm going to forget his name. Anyway, I talk about him all the time. And he said, Karitaka is his name. He said, as we age, it's like fighting against ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make yourself do things. Instead of using the washing machine, wash those clothes. You know, instead of, do the work yourself. Force yourself to get out there and
take
do
the
that.
Stairs.
Take those stairs.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you coming in today, and I appreciate your research. And I have told my children that I'm living to be 100, so they better just get used to it. So
good threat.
My oldest is like, Mom, I don't know. I don't know if I can handle you that long. Dr. Siyun Wei, thank you so much. You will be speaking on Thursday at the Boise Brewing Company off of Broad Street in Boise, What to Eat and Drink to Live to be 100. That is Thursday at 6 p.m. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.